Matthew 25, please. Beginning to read at verse 1. We read this last week. I'm just going to read it and make a comment or two before we move on to part 2 of this message. The price of oil. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. And they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. And the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us off your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough room for us and you. But rather go to them that sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Let's pray. Father, we need for your Son, the Lord Jesus. We thank you for every remembrance of him and his doing and his dying and his rising again. We thank you, Father, that we can gather around this table and partake of these emblems. We thank you for his broken body and his precious shed blood. We thank you, Lord, that he has risen from the dead, alive forevermore. And we thank you, Father, that you're here with us by your Spirit. And we thank you, Lord, that you love your own. You love your people. And Lord, we ask you now that you would, Lord, settle us in this place. Settle our minds and our hearts. And while your Spirit is here, we pray that he would move from seat to seat and heart to heart and touching lives. Speak into us, Lord. The only way you know and can do. Father, remember those who are ill and at home. We pray, Lord, your healing hand to be with them. Remember the children and the leaders and the teachers, so many of them away down there. Lord, through Children's Church, Lord, and the creche there too, and those who will look after the little ones. Bless them and give them their portion for their labor for thy kingdom. And Father, we pray for Lauren and David and the family, and as you buried her father yesterday, we pray your hand upon the family, and we pray your blessing to be with them, and may they know your peace and comfort. And now, Lord, for us who are here, we ask you, Lord, to, Lord, speak to our lives, into our hearts, and bless all who will watch live or later, in Jesus' name. Amen. The price of oil. Last week we spoke more into Matthew 25. This week we won't look as much at it. But we know it's the parable of the 5 wise virgins and the 5 foolish. And we looked really into that last week. We won't go back into it. But if you notice, we took from verse 9, it says, "But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough room for enough for us, nor and you. But rather go to them that sell and buy for yourselves." Now we looked at this, at the price of oil. What is the price of oil? For this speaks of us in our readiness, the having a right relationship and walk with the Lord, especially in the day and the hour in which we live in, for the bridegroom is coming. And when we buy, we don't buy the Spirit of God. We told you that last week. We can't buy salvation. It's by grace we're saved through faith. But here the idea is that relationship of place of prayer and reading God's word and fellowship with God's people is the idea where we are in communion with the Lord Jesus, having an intimacy with him, going to the trysting place, And if you look up the word for trysting, you'll find that it gives the idea of a place where two lovers meet. A place where two lovers meet. And so you meet the Lord Jesus because you love him. And he loves you. But notice here, the five foolish, if you just let your eye run down the chapter. In verse 12, they come in verse 11, Lord, Lord, open to us. Verse 12, but he answered and said, verily, I say unto you, I know you not. Now, he knows everyone. The idea is I have never been intimate with you. See, their oil spoke of their heart's desire and burning zeal. The oil spoke of that which lit the lamp, which the flame would burn on, the fuel of it. Spoke of the Holy Spirit in their life, if there was ever any. And I mentioned last week that oil is the fuel that keeps the lamps lit. Oil is the fuel that keeps the light shining. And oil is the symbol of the Holy Ghost anointing in the life of the man and the woman. And the wise had oil in their vessels as well as their lamps. In their vessels as well as their lamps. The oil is the mark of consecration. The oil is the reminder of Holy Ghost healing power. Oil is the unction of the Holy Ghost giftings to the church, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Oil is a metaphor of the Holy Ghost's presence and power in our midst and among us. And oil is a typification of the Holy Ghost persisting in our lives, enduring with us, persevering. It's the personification of the Lord and his manifestation in our lives. And these five wise had oil in their vessels and their lamps. And these five foolish, remember the word I used last week? It's the word moros, where we get moron. They were like, Jesus says the foolish are like morons. And remember, that is to cut into the character. It's used in purpose. It cuts right into the character of a man and a woman when we use that word even today. And Jesus used it to say, those who don't spend time and come into relationship with me, have an intimate fellowship and knowledge of me, he deems them as moronic. John Wesley, as I said, once asked, and I want to use this to go to our part two this morning. John Wesley was once asked, Mr. Wesley, what is your secret that is for him preaching over around the country, even though he come under much attack? And I have a page of John Wesley's, a copy of a page of John Wesley's diary, and some of the things that happened, and he detailed it. I'll read it to you sometime, but he's kicked out of places, churches. The elders didn't want him back again because he was preaching mainly to the Anglican church at the time, and they didn't want sanctification or holiness of life. They didn't want salvation preached in the church. And John Wesley came preaching all of these, and they put him out. And he went from town to town and village to village, and it even got to the point where he was preaching in a field and they let a bull out to chase him away with the congregation. Coming to the thought that sometimes you and I might want to give up at that space, at that point. But John Wesley kept going. And he says one morning he just done as usual. The gate, so to speak, was open of the field, and he went in to preach. And he says, 10,000 came to hear me. 10,000 to hear the gospel of saving grace and sanctification of the Holy Spirit from the world. And it is said that John Wesley, along with his brother Charles, who wrote many of the wonderful old hymns, that they saved England from, a revolution, like the French Revolution. So you see, the oil matters. And this is what he was asked, Mr. Wesley, what is your secret? And he answered, I get alone with God in prayer,
He sets me on fire. The people come to watch me burn. The people come to watch me burn. So with that in mind, would you turn with me to Leviticus, please, chapter 6. Leviticus chapter 6. So if there's oil in the vessel, the lamp will keep burning. If there's oil in the vessel, that is, if you've bought oil, so to speak, the sense of where you've been in the place, where you are faithful in the place, constantly in the place, seeking the face of God in prayer and worship and thanksgiving and gratitude and meeting with God's people in God's house. Being there when, as it were, when the doors open, looking to gather together to worship Him. You're putting oil in your vessel as well as your lamp. It'll keep you going on with God. It will keep you burning. It will keep the fire lit. It will keep you shining. You wonder why your life has went dull. Wonder why your walk with Christ has went dull. Could it be because you've run out of oil? And you have nothing to burn. Leviticus 6, please. Verse 8. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. It is the burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar all night, unto the morning, and the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. And the priest shall put on his linen garment and his linen breeches, shall he put upon his flesh and take up the ashes with the fire hath consumed and with the burnt offering on the altar. And he shall put them beside the altar. And when he shall put off his garments and put on other garments and carry forth ashes out of the camp unto a clean place, the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. Notice, it shall not be put out, and the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order upon it. And he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings. Now notice this. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. The fire is to keep burning. The priests are to keep the fire alive. They're to keep the fire lit. A continual burning, a continual fire is a constant reminder of God's power to accept and consume the offering. In our lives, Christ is our offering for salvation, but our lives, our living, should be a sacrificial offering on the altar every day, burning with zeal and passion for the kingdom of God and for the glory of Christ. I'm not here to condemn, now you know that, but I'm going to ask a question this morning to each and every one of us. My pastor used to ask us it. How's your love life? How's your love life? With the Lord, that is. How's your love life? Is there something burning in your heart for Him? How's your love life? God ignites the fire on the altar. That's what He done when He saved us. God ignites something in us. He regenerates us to see and behold our sin and our need of Christ. And He saves us through the offering of His Son, through the blood that He shed. He ignites the fire by the giving of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, we know there were cloven tongues like as of fire came and sat upon the heads of the 120 in the upper room. Cloven tongues. Why cloven? for the ministry to the church would make us kings and priests unto God. Here's the thing, brothers and sisters, I want to ask you this morning. Has God ever ignited your heart? Here's what I mean. There are people who profess to know the Lord Jesus, speak all the right words. There are people who profess to love the Lord Jesus. But there's some who don't possess, who do not possess the Lord Jesus. Has God ignited the fire in your heart? You might say, well, I sort of grew up in church. That's not God igniting the fire in your heart. That's not God setting you alight and on fire, starting a new birth experience within you, something that really takes you from the old to the new, from the darkness into light, changing your desires for things of life when you, as you walk along, and having a burning zeal for Christ. There's some who say, oh yes, I know God. In fact, not to say too much, but someone said that to me at the funeral yesterday. Somebody said, oh, they said they know God. Well, they say they believe, pardon me, they say they believe in God. And I said, believe in God? The devils believe. Devils believe in God. It means nothing. It's knowing Him. God ignites the fire on the altar. But listen, you and I are what? Kings and priests unto God. Cloven tongues like as of fire. We are now made kings and priests unto God. And I'll tell you, He ignites the fire. The priests had to keep the fire lit. Had to keep the fire going. I mentioned this before, but, you know, we have an open fire, and the amount of fossil fuels that we go through. What do you call that wee woman? The wee girl that was running around telling us all to stop burning it. Greta Thunderbird, whatever her name is. She'd be angry at me. But we have to keep feeding it, don't we? Now, I'm conscious this morning that Pastor McConnell's daughter Linda's here with her husband Norman. I'm conscious of that. But I was going to say this anyway, so don't you think I'm saying it just because you're here. He told a story, and I hope I get this right. Linda, you can tell me off later on if it's wrong. He told a story about a young man, and he was in his house, and he had went cold and hearted, backslidden in heart. And he was thinking of a way to express, you know, about how to set that passion and love on fire again. And there's a fire, the fire with a coal had dropped out and went out. It went out. And obviously that used to be burning and glowing, but it went out. And Pastor McConnell says, if there's a fire, and did he put it back in again? Was it? He put it back in again. Is that what it was? There you are. I'm glad I have you here this morning to keep me. And the coal had come out, and he came and he says, watch this. And he put the coal that was out back into the fire. And after a while, it just glowed red and formed into unity with the rest off the fire. And he says, you see, son, this is who you are when you are away from the Lord. And when you're backslidden, this is what you're like. You've fallen away from even fellowship of God's church, and you've went out. Somebody here this morning, and you've went out. They used to glow. You used to be on fire. And now you've went out. You know, when you get back into fellowship, you start to glow again. So easy to fall out and be away from church and you've no oil left. You've no oil left. And maybe you just need to get to the place to go and buy oil. But of course, listen, we're still in that day of grace before the coming of the bridegroom. We're still in that place where the bridegroom is coming. And many of us have run out of oil. Many have run out of fuel, as it were. The Holy Spirit's burning within us. We have fallen out of that place of love with Jesus, of going on with Christ, of fellowship with the saints. God lit a fire maybe in you one time and you burned bright and you went well. You went on with God well. And now you find yourself that you've went cold and indifferent. You've fallen out of love with Jesus. You see, God ignites the fire, but the priests had to keep it lit. Now, in Northern Ireland, we have the old saying, keep her lit, don't we? We have to keep it lit. The onus is on us. And what we find is the perseverance of the saints to go on with Christ, to go on in God, to keep burning, to keep shining, to be passionate, to still desire and want and love the Lord Jesus and the things of God, the house of God, the place where God's people meet. That desire within us is only birthed from the Holy Spirit. And that perseverance of the saint is what I would say is the preservation of the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart, then there is oil. If the Holy Spirit is speaking to your life, then there's your oil. If the Holy Spirit is talking to you now, he's saying, fill up with oil. And in this day and hour, with so much happening around the world, the bridegroom's coming. The bridegroom is coming. What is it we sing? When the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white? So how's your love life? How's your walk with God? Remember we sang that old hymn last week. Then God's fire upon the altar. Off my heart was set aflame. I shall never cease to praise him. Glory, glory to his name. See, brothers and sisters, when God lights the fire, you can say to me, has your fire ever almost gone out? If you're asking me, do I have better days than others? Yes. If you're asking me if I ever had big periods of time when I've walked away from the Lord, the answer is no. No. If you're asking me some days and for even periods or seasons, do I not feel God? Absolutely. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I just feel Ken and I don't like him. I don't like him. And what do? I go and buy oil. I go to the place where prayer is wont to be made. I listen and look for those sermons and those preachers or those teachers who will teach me, who will speak with me. And again, I wish you hadn't come this morning, because I was going to mention this anyway. And again, I always go back to my roots. Where Christ saved me, I go back and I listen especially to my pastor and his preaching. I go back and I listen to that old gospel songs and the hymns that were sung. And I'm sitting sometimes and it does me a world of good, and then afterwards it doesn't because I miss it. Rebecca picked the songs this morning, Wonderful, Merciful Savior. You know who introduced me to that song? That man down there, Norman. Here I am, wholly available. Pastor McConnell struggled up one day and I went, I like that wee song. I didn't pick those. Rebecca picked those. And the thing about it is, I get back to the place where oil is. In with Jesus, in with the Lord, seeking his faith. You know, sometimes I'm like, you can be like the man that says, the man says to his mother one Sunday morning, I don't want to go to church. I don't want to go to church. Do you ever get that? Do you get it, Wendy? I'm sure you all do. I get it too. But Alison says, can you have to go out? You're the pastor. We all do. But in the parable of the 10 virgins, it is the bridegroom who's coming. And our bridegroom is coming. Our bridegroom, one of these days, the skies will roll back like a scroll. One of these days, we're going to hear the mighty voice of God. The skies will be filled with the glory of Christ. One of these days, we're going to see him. Faith will make way for sight. But first of all, are you saved? You know what I'm going to preach on someday? It was in my head during the week while I said that word. I was listening to something a couple of weeks ago, and then somebody happened to mention it to me. And I said about, are you saved? And somebody said, sure, that's a Protestant word. It's a biblical word. It's a Bible word. I'm going to preach on that someday. It's in the Bible. So why are you saved? Do you know him? Are you walking with him? Are you in fellowship with him? Are you ready? Intimate with him. Seeing this, you go into a place, go into your place of where you pray or where you do it when you're out walking or wherever you are, and say, Lord, I'm not going to stop walking. I'm not going to stop talking. And I'm not going to leave this place of prayer until I'm intimate with you. Intimacy. Jesus said to the five foolish, I don't know you. Of course he knew them. But he meant he wasn't intimate with them. I've never been intimate with you, he says. And our bridegroom is coming. And this morning, this could be, if you want, for a better word, a trumpet blast. For all the church. For all who will listen. For all who can hear. To get ready. To go get oil now. Get into that place. Give yourself that shake. Get yourself out. I know there are people who aren't able. Physically, that is. But get out. Get among God's people. Get serving. Get intimate with Jesus first. I can honestly tell you, but I don't know. Would it be 300 or so here this morning? I don't know whether. Maybe more counting the kids and the leaders down there. I don't know. But even when we're singing, Sometimes it's difficult for me because I'm trying to remember what chord it is to play. But even when we're singing, whether I'm standing down here or up here, I'm intimate with them. I'm not just singing a song. Sometimes I get closer than others. Sometimes I'm more aware than others. I am intimate with him, becoming one, coming together in love and unity with him. What was that verse? Almighty, infinite Father, faithfully loving your own, here in our weakness you find us. See, the first time we sang that this morning, see, in my mind and my spirit before God, I thought, Lord, that's me. That's me. In my own weakness, Lord, you've found me falling before your throne. So, going to close this morning. I have so much more. I don't know what to do. I'll pray about it, but I have so much more. Maybe do one more week on something, this theme, but different. But listen, let's all stand for a moment. Would you look up for me, please? When I saw the cleansing fountain open wide for all my sin. We're going to sing this without music because I don't know how to play it. Does anybody know how to play it?